at the Washington, D.C. Mall, on the steps in front of the Lincoln Memorial, as Martin Luther King delivered one of the most stirring minutes of oratory in American history, as he gave his speech, I Have a Dream, calling on the healing of the races, equality of treatment between blacks and whites, an end to racial prejudice, a healing of the breach in our land, helping for the economically disadvantaged and for all victims of injustice. He was indeed the main leader of the civil rights movement. A lot of whites, let me say it differently, a lot of African Americans held on to bitterness, understandably so, toward the white populations for generations because they were convinced we missed a revival that had occurred led by Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, we know he wasn't a perfect man. How many in this room are perfect? I'm glad I didn't see any hands. We're perfect by his grace. But he was an incredible man, and he stood for nonviolence. He was called weak by younger people who gathered around him to the movement, who wanted to use very violent means. He was at a book signing. He was stabbed by an African-American woman. She walked up to him sitting at the table signing the books, and she said, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He said, "I am." And she pulled out a letter opener and stabbed him, and there were three surgeons that had to work on him because he nearly lost his life. But as he came out of that, he pledged himself again to nonviolent means. Here was his quote: "Not one hair on one head of one person should be harmed or lost in our fight for equality." He led the Montgomery bus boycott. I don't know that very many of us will ever forget the water cannons against the women and children and the African Americans, the blacks, as they were walking across the bridge. And it was a horrible sight. And a lot of people in our country woke up to the reality, this is needing more than lip service. There's a problem here. There's a real serious issue. Martin Luther King Jr. won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1963. And only 5 short years later, he was gunned down while standing on a balcony of a Memphis hotel on April 4th, 1968. He did all of this. He wrote books. He was jailed 29 times for his stand for what he felt was justice. He pastored churches, and he led what some consider to be a major revival among the black African American churches. And he changed a nation's thinking. You have to acknowledge that. And he died, and he did all of that before age 39. You know, I tell you what I always think. If somebody comes to me and says they don't like a certain preacher or they don't like certain people, I always try to stop and think, you sure did a lot more than I've done in my life. People who are critical of preachers, I stop and I go, well, they've reached a lot more people for Jesus than I have. He did all that by age 39. Soon afterwards, they began a movement toward making it a national holiday, Martin Luther King Day. And in 1988, President Ronald Reagan signed the holiday into existence, and it was first observed 3 years later. And it took until the year 2000 for all 50 states to acknowledge and honor it. Now, tomorrow is a very special time, because tomorrow there is going to be a naval recognition at Pearl Harbor, announcing that a $12.5 billion aircraft carrier is going to be named after Mess Attendant Second Class Doris or Dory Miller, who was the first African American to receive the Navy Cross for Valor on his actions on December 7th. Maybe some of you remember the story. He manned a machine gun on the USS West Virginia to fire back at attacking Japanese planes, and he felt, and many felt, that he actually got one of those planes down. In 1941, an African American was not allowed to man the guns in the Navy. As far as rank was concerned, he couldn't actually rise above a messman level. But his actions literally inspired a movement to turn the course of what had just occurred. And he changed the thinking in the Navy. And in fact, it was back in the 70s, finally, when African Americans began to rise in the ranks. And of course, we all know a general, Colin Powell, who wasn't a naval man, but began to rise. He served on another destroyer and that was sunk, and he lost his life in 1943. But this is the first time a major new class of aircraft carrier, there are four of them, the Gerald R. Ford aircraft carriers are coming out. Now, Gerald R. Ford was commissioned in 2017. There are three more that are coming out. This is the first time that an African American is the nomenclature, the name for one of these ships. And we see Dory Miller and Admiral Nimitz pinning the Medal of Valor on him, or the Navy Cross, rather. And so this is a really big day. And this about 1,100-foot Fords feature a new nuclear plant and all sorts of things. But what I wanted to do as a congregation is take a moment to acknowledge our African American brothers and sisters who have accomplished so much for us in our lives and in our nation. And so as a holiday is scheduled and celebrated tomorrow, we have every reason to rejoice and to thank God for the accomplishments. How many in this story have a life story that can be celebrated and thanked God for, right? For your lives? Well, let's thank God for the accomplishments in our lives, for those who have served on our behalf. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the Word of God. Question again. How many ladies are wearing earrings this morning? Come on, show your hands. Show you how many guys. No, put them down. How many ladies again? Raise them high. So my wife, she loves earrings, and she doesn't wear just tiny little earrings. And there's different strokes for different folks, you know. And you know, who can tell me who that was? Different strokes for different folks. Who was that? Come on. Oh, Sly and the Family Stone. Different strokes. Everyday people? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. All right, anyway. So different people like different earrings, and my wife likes to show earrings. I Googled the pictures of earrings, and if you Google the biggest earrings in the world, you see a lady come out and there's earrings down to here. You go, this is crazy stuff. But some people like different things. But your ears, like we said last week, are more than accessory hangers. Jesus wants to speak to each one of us sitting here this morning. To each one of us. And you go, can I really hear from God? Yes, you can really hear from God. Yes, He's really speaking. Yes, He really wants to talk to you and me. So I'd like you to read this question with me this morning back there, back from the very beginning one, Pat. Thank you so much. Does Jesus have your ear? Come on, say it with me. Does Jesus have your ear? I want you to reach up, touch your earlobes. Say your name, Kevin. Now say the question. Does Jesus have your ear? He wants to fellowship with you. So we saw the different kinds of earrings. We want to hear the voice of God, different kinds of earrings. But now I want to say we want to learn how to hear from Jesus. I'm going to just give you a few thoughts this morning. We want to learn to hear from Jesus. I'm going to refer back to a section of Scripture that we used last week. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to pick up from the theme that we shared about last week, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And in this section of scripture, you have Samuel, who's a little boy. He's been dedicated to the Lord. He's in the temple. Eli, the old prophet, is getting ready to go out. God has declared judgment on that priesthood because they didn't keep their hearts right before the Lord. And his offspring were very corrupt. And God wanted to raise up a new generation of prophet and lineage of priesthood in the house of God. And so Samuel is a little boy, and he's sleeping on a mat or wherever he was in the temple. And he begins to hear a voice. Samuel, Samuel, if you recall the story. Samuel gets up, he runs into Eli, and he says, "What did you need? I'm here." And Eli says, "Go back to bed, kid. Quit bugging me, kid." W.C. Fields, "Don't bug me, kid." And he says, "I didn't say anything to you. Go back to sleep." And it happens again. Samuel, Samuel. He runs to Eli. He says, "I'm here. What can I do for you? I you called me." And he goes, I didn't call you. I didn't call you. But therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, when he realized what was happening, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord." Say this with me, please. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came. So Samuel went and came down in his place. And lay down in his place. Now, the ETH, when you look at your King James, understand at the ending of a word, when ETH is there, heareth, it means to hear and keep on hearing. It's an ongoing, continuous action verb. Hear and keep on hearing. So, Lord, your servant is committed to hearing you. And to continue to hear you. What is it you want to say? My ear, my heart is poised. I want to hear and keep on hearing you. The Lord came, verse 10 says, stood and called out as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Give him your life. Say it with me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Now, when you've given your life to Jesus, the sin issue is gone. Sins separate you from God, right? But now those sins are separated from you. Everybody ought to cheer. Thank God sins are separated from you and me. Through the blood of Jesus, by His grace, what He did for you and I on the cross of Calvary, for you and me on Calvary, thank God those sins are separated from the sinner. So we've got every reason to rejoice. So if there's anybody yet at all who hasn't asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, do it today. Come on, say it with me. Do it today. Jump into the river of God. He wants to speak to your heart and to mine. And He wants to give us a continual, fantastic fellowship and relationship with Him. Fantastic relationship with Him. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west," speaking of sins here, and this is the picture, "so far has He removed our transgressions from us." I love this out of the Passion. "Farther than from a sunrise to a sunset." That's how far you've removed our guilt from us. That's incredible. So give him your life. Number two, give him your time. "I'm here, Lord. I'm not going to tune you out." Give him your time. Number three, give him your ears. I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. "My sheep listen to my voice. I love them and they follow me." Anybody ever distracted in your time with the Lord? You got television, you got your cell phone, you got your books, your magazines, your computer, whatever you're using as your sound box, and the Bible sits on the ground while you're listening, watching, etc., etc. Give him your ears. Shut off the noise if you want to hear from Jesus. And then fourthly, just giving you some points here. Give up, say it with me, your terms. Say my terms. Give up my terms and accept His. Stop the negotiation. Come on, how many in this room are ever negotiators with God? Okay, me too, man. Me too. You know, you go, okay, you know, I like sales work. We negotiate. We go back and forth a little bit. And God says, this isn't a democratic vote, Kev. This isn't a democracy here. I didn't ask you to present me a contract, Kevin. Give up your terms. If God wants to speak, He knew when He made you, how He made you, and He knows what to do for you and for me. So let's let Him give us His terms. Jesus said in a garden, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, not my will, not my words, but yours be done. Now, the neat thing is with the Lord, we can give Him our words. We can give Him our hearts, and we can talk to Him and just tell Him what's going on. But then give it to Him. Let Him speak. Your terms, Lord. Then, when you've given Him your life, given Him your time, given Him your ears, and given Him the terms, you've accepted His, you're really ready to hear. Number two, how to hear Him clearly. How to hear Him clearly. Simple points this morning. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. So if you're not hearing and you're not seeing, then it's time to say, okay, Lord, You made them. Let me see. Let me hear. Out of the Passion. Lovers of God, I love this verse. Pastor Sherry, I thought you'd love this verse. Lovers of God have been given eyes to see with spiritual discernment and ears to hear from God. I had a guy one time come to me, this was years ago. He was really critical of a lot of the love songs we would sing in this congregation. I've been in ministry for 48 years, leading worship, etc. And some of my favorite songs are songs of love toward Jesus and songs of love from Him. And this guy came up to me really angry. And he said, don't you know that guys don't want to sing songs like that? That is just, no guy wants to stand there and sing a love song. This guy does. I'll sing all day long about a love relationship with Jesus if you'll let me, if I don't run out of voice. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not. Jesus said, I created you to make a joyful noise. And I love Him, the scripture says, because He first loved me. And if I get to stand here for the rest of my days and sing about His love and receive His love and tell Him how much I love Him, that's okay with me. Now, I like warfare songs. I like fast songs of praise. But I love to love Jesus. Don't you? I'm not embarrassed to be called a lover of God. My life's being transformed to be a better one. How about you? Come on, amen or oh no. How to hear Him clearly. Relationship with Him is to be enjoyed. It's not meant to be hard and difficult, but, you know, listen. The reality is, if you'll just think for a minute, how many times have you stopped investing in a relationship? You've stopped investing in one. A brother, a sister, mom, dad, husband, wife, and wonder why there's a problem later down the road. How come we're distant? Why is it that we're distant? How come you don't talk to me anymore? And that person looks at you and goes, well, that's kind of two ways, isn't it? I mean, isn't it really? You're all looking at me like I'm foreign, talking about some crazy concept here this morning. But I want you to know that being a distant relative of Jesus won't work. A distant relative isn't going to cut it with Him. Now, you can call yourself a Christian and be a Christian and come to church. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you saved by grace? Oh, okay. But I don't want to be the guy who says, Lord, I'll give You my life and never have anything to do with You. I'll sit right here for the rest of my life. And while Jesus moves on down the roads and leads His people, and people are following Him, I'm still over there sitting and go, well, I gave my life to Jesus once. But remember in the Bible, now just, I'm not trying to give you ouch experiences, but it's just as much ouch for me as it is for you. Remember, the Bible says, you know, yeah, you prophesied in my name, and people were healed in my name, and you know, lots of good stuff happened in my name, but I never knew you. One of the most incredible messages I've ever heard in my life, from my entire walk with Jesus, is a message called Letting Jesus Know You from Pastor Sherry. It is online. It is in Launching Your Faith. It is taking time to let Him know you. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be this guy, close with Jesus. Isn't that what you want to be? That's why we're talking about this morning. We're into 2020, and He's saying, step up higher and deeper. And just like it's just so amazing. I saw that waterfall, this big waterfall, and I saw, you know, everybody's dancing around enjoying the water coming down. It's glorious, a beautiful day. And then you look deeper, and all of a sudden there's this person standing back there, just hiding in the cleft of the rock, which is, you know, the old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And it's all about, there's an intimate place with Jesus. Relationship, not a distant relative. Romans 10:17. How can we hear from God? Well, at least here's one way. So faith comes by hearing. Where's my faith? Are you hearing from Him? Faith comes by hearing. Well, how do I hear? By the Word of God. Take time in His Word, read His Word, ask Him to speak to you through His Word. He talks to you through His Word. The Passion Version is, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. We know it's Jesus' desire to speak to us, that we listen to Him, and that we hear His voice. That's His heart for you and me. Nudge each other and say, that's His heart for you. Come on, do it. That's His heart for you. Then look at the other person who nudged you and say, yeah, you too. We talked last week about 4 points. You were created to enjoy God. You're created to hear God. You're created to minister God's Word and created to know what God is doing. But how? I want to take you to a section of Scripture and give you a little section of Scripture with some thoughts that still apply today. If you'll go to Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21 verses 2 through 4. Exodus 21, 2 through 4. And it's a different kind of concept here, but if you'll give Him your all and accept His all, you're going to hear better from God. Do you get that? Give Him your all and accept His all, if you want to look up on the screen. It says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, verses 2 through 4. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, his wife will go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, then she has borne him, and she has borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. You go, whoa, what a head-scratcher section of Scripture is this. Now, God was not for divorce in the Bible, and God was not for slavery in the Bible, and the huge conceptual difference between the abuses of what man has done to man with what's called chattel slavery. What happened to the African Americans, to the blacks, when they were captured, kidnapped, forced into labor, not paid, mistreated, and abused, was a horrific blight on our nation and in the world. Someone say amen. You need to know that as a church, we stand against racism. Racism of any kind is a wicked sin, and it needs to be repented of. Somebody say amen. White nationalism is a crazy, wicked carry-off of sin. But it doesn't matter if it's just whites on black, if it's against Asians, if it's against any people group. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in God's sight. Someone say amen. Amen. Racism is a wicked thing. So God's version of slavery was only allowed because it happened But it wasn't chattel slavery where someone owned them. This was an allowance made by God that if you entered into debt and absolutely had no way of recovering, is not an ownership issue. It was like an indentured servant to try to pay off a debt. If you stole something and the criminal activity resulted in a punishment that you had to restore fourfold, sevenfold, that you'll see that throughout the scripture, you could also serve the person to pay off your debt. If there was family destitution, if a crop failed, somebody provided money for you to put seed in the ground, and the drought came and the crops failed, and you had no money to be able to produce next year, and this continued happening, people would end up out on the street, literally destitute. Wife, children, husband had nothing. They could put themselves into the hands of somebody who was a wealthy landowner to be able to cover, so they didn't destroy their lives completely. If you paid your debt, you could leave. If, as a slave or an indentured servant in this fashion, if you ran away, so the heart of God was so much against this chattel slavery that happened in our world. The heart of God was, if you ran away as a servant, listen to this, nobody could force you legally to go back. You could run to your neighbors, you could run to the next town, and no, it was against the law of God for you to force that person to go back. So God's heart was different. By the way, you could only be this kind of servant for 6 years. Now, commentaries will disagree on this or have a different perspective on this. Many commentaries will agree that in this system, the Jubilee year, which was on the seventh year, which was in when everybody was to be set free from their debts. And so if you entered in 3 years before the Jubilee occurred, instead of serving 6 years, you could be set free at the end of that third year when the Jubilee happened. But the point was, you never were owned by someone. Now, what about this slave who comes in, you get married, and you can't leave if the owner has provided you with a wife and she had kids? What that is all about, you guys, so it doesn't just seem completely crazy, is that the woman in this case most likely was also a debtor. Or she was in the family to pay off the family's debts, and probably the debts were not yet paid off. And so she had years left to serve. And there were different things. Now, none of this makes sense to us, thank God. We don't have to live in this kind of a system. But God was trying to lift their thoughts higher to caring for people. By the way, the bride price, you understand the dowry that the guys would have to pay for to the father, so the wife then could marry. What would happen here is most of these people who had served and paid off their debts by service had no bride price. And the bride price was collected by the father in order to pay the wife something if her husband left her. Okay? Is that making sense? So that's what that was all for. But he probably didn't have the bride price to be able to pay. But beyond that, in all occasions, the slave was not chattel, but cared for. And these people were with the family. They were loved in most occasions, and they were cared for, and if they were not treated right, God had very harsh things to do toward the owner, because these people were to be cared for in the government of God. So what happens, though? Exodus 21, 5 and 6. Let's finish the thought. But if the servant says plainly, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I'm not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall then serve him forever. He would take him to the judges, so it would be known publicly with others that I'm entering this relationship willingly, volitionally, of my own choice. When you give your relationship, your life to Jesus, how many times does the minister call for you to come forward so there's a public acknowledgement that this is something you're doing of your own choice, of your own heart? Nobody here is forcing you into a relationship with Jesus. It is your choice 100%. And this person who said, I want to hang around, I want to be with my wife and I want to be with my kids and I like this master and I'm cared for and I'm part of a family and I love being here and so I'm going to stay. And they would put an awl through his ear. That sounds painful. Come on. Everybody wake up. Wake up now. That's awfully quiet in here. Sounds painful. Has the Lord Jesus ever allowed you to go through a situation where it was painful in your life, but because you'd committed your life to Jesus, you wanted His will, even if it wasn't what felt good at the time? Come on. You know why? Somebody says, why did you go through that difficult situation? You could have cut and run. You didn't have to go through that. And you look at him and go, well, you see the hole in my earlobe here? There was an awl that got put through my ear, and I'm wearing a Holy Spirit earring that says I gave my everything to Him. And I said, I don't want to be my own man to just go my own way anymore. I don't want to just cut and run when it's tough. And I don't want to just demand my way and you better come through for me and I will win no matter what, because I already gave my terms and up and accepted His terms, and I want to do what He's called me to do. They put this all through the ear. The person is marked, and he's called literally a love slave or a bond slave. Now, without getting too strange in the story, many of you, before Pastor Sherry and I got married, have heard over the years about my first wife, Gail, to whom I was married for 24 years, and it was a miracle she put up with me. So just like Pastor Sherry, you pray for her. But when we were in our courtship days, the Lord took us through an experience where He said, kind of like Isaac on the altar, who's more important here? Are you willing to give this up? And are you just a relationship because it's expected now? I remember Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry saying, are you in a relationship because you're in bondage? You're legalistically in this relationship? And I had to go out and seek God. And I remember my wife and I sitting in a car at taco time, talking about this, and all of a sudden we broke before the Lord and began to weep. And I learned a whole concept, and I said, I'm here with you because I want to be here. The love slave or the bond slave, see the ear? It's marked. And I'm not here because I have to be, but I want to be. Church, aren't you here with Jesus because you want to be? Oh God, I believe in 2020 you've got something to say that's fresh and it's new, and I want to hear better than I've heard before, and I want to walk better than I've walked before, and I want to express you better than I've ever done before, and I don't want to be what I used to be, Lord, and it's not 2018. I don't want to be what I was in 2018. I don't want to be what I was in 2005. I don't want to be what I was in 1969 when I gave my life to Jesus. It's 2020, and Lord, in 2021, I want to keep walking, and I want to be different then than I am now, because Lord, I'm a love slave and I want to walk with you. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I'll sing and give praise. So instead of saying He took me to the woodshed, He took me to the doorpost. And he put an awl through my ear. And I said, okay. It's what I want. In Romans 1, verse 1, Paul says of himself, look, a bondservant, Paul, a bondservant, it's throughout the New Testament in his letters, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Bondservant is the word doulos, which literally means a slave. Colossians 3:3, what does he say about his life? My life is hidden in Christ, in God. I'm not just a part-time servant. I'm not just a servant who shows up when it shows. You know what they always say, character, and the true character of a person is what you're like really when nobody's looking. When nobody's around, I still want you, Lord. My life is hidden in Christ and God. I'm a bondservant, a slave to the Lord. This morning, I believe you want to hear Jesus' voice. Therefore, the question is, does Jesus have your ear? Stand with me, would you please?